It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We're going to read from verse 1 through verse 12, Genesis chapter 4. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to send us a note, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit us at our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that you had enough time now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a keeper of the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect up unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and upon thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth from unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's precious word. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and be together. It's just wonderful, Lord, this opportunity that you've given us to study your word, enjoy your word. Now please, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts that we may study your way, study your will, and then be obedient to follow that, Father. Please now, guide and lead us as we enjoy this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed looking at this relationship that Cain and Abel have. We have of the children, there are two, Cain and Abel. Both of them, as we look at their birth, Cain was born first, then Abel. We have studied and recognized that Cain was a farmer. He came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground for an offering. It tells us in the second verse here that bare the brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so we have a farmer that takes care of the land, and then a shepherd, one that takes care of the sheep in Abel. So we have Cain and Abel. We know that there was a period of time here, a time that took place. We're not sure how often this was done, whether it was something that was done once a year at a certain time. I know that God has instructed the Adam and Eve concerning their relationship to him. We have this picture of the coats of skin and clothed them back in verse 21, and God did that work, and he showed at that time by demonstrating this, putting a death, an animal had to die putting an animal to death, and then the preparing of that for the sacrifice was given, and then we find Adam and Eve received these coats from the Lord, picturing, beautiful picture, of what's to come in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was going to have to happen. Now we have the picture, we have it in place, and we have looked at some of the things that we would call, I guess, requirements, something that is put into place concerning the carrying out this sacrifice, this preparing of this offering and this sacrifice. And so I guess we need to look very carefully and very closely that we follow after God's Word. It must be God's way. Salvation to us is a gift. And when we accept that gift, we accept that gift on faith. Now, prior to the Lord Jesus coming to the cross some 2,000 years ago now, they look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. Either way, it's by faith. Prior to the cross of Calvary, they were to bring offerings, sacrifices unto the Lord, to Him, and show Him that, give this picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not to do that now. We have something called the Lord's Supper, communion. We have something called baptism. And when you are baptized, you are baptized only after you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I believe that immersion is a scriptural baptism. You go down into the water showing your dying, your death in Christ. Coming up out of the water, you're showing you're raised in Christ, resurrection. And so what a beautiful picture of what's happened to the heart and to the life of that individual. And we do that through baptism. Of course, it must come after salvation. Well, then following that, then we have this called the Lord's Supper. So we come in memory of what was done on the cross. And so we look back to the cross of Calvary. And again, until you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you ask Him to come into your heart, that memory, that is not there. Oh, you've read it in the Scripture. You know it to be something that took place in history. But until He is your Savior, you've come to Him, trusted in Him as your personal Savior, then you really still don't have anything to remember until you do that. And so first, you know, after you have trusted the Lord Jesus, you're saved. You want to show people, give them the testimonies of what's happened unto you. Then you follow the Lord in baptism. Then you join a local church that preaches the truth. And once a month, once a quarter, whatever, however often that they have the Lord's Supper, then you partake in the Lord's Supper because you're remembering back to that great day when Jesus Christ died for you and took your sin away. And so we have the testimony of the baptism. We have the joy of the Lord's Supper to look back and remember. Well, prior to that, they were to bring offerings and sacrifices prior to the cross. They were to bring these offerings and sacrifices to look forward. And there were some requirements, some things that they needed to do to give this beautiful picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like we have the bread and the juice, just like we have the baptism by immersion in showing what has happened to the heart, two, they had this that they needed to do, and it was an act of faith when they would do it, because they believed that this was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it wasn't that by faith in what they were doing, it was by faith in what it represented, and that was Jesus Christ. And so you see, they would bring this, seeing all the way forward, some 4,000 years in this case, to the cross of Calvary where Jesus Christ died. Now, that's what it meant to Adam and Eve when they had the coats of skins and God clothed them. That's what that meant to them. That's what that represented. And so They were to repeat this process and would repeat it again for some 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus would come to the cross. But he showed them carefully and clearly that there were some things that were of a necessity to bring this offering, to even bring it to God, and hear why they presented it to Adam as the head of the house of the priest, and then he too then brought it on their behalf unto God. And so that was the steps that was taken care of. But again, what we've looked at many times is that death of a substitute. It need to be a substitute. The substitute need to die. The substitute would be innocent of anything that had taken place. There was the shedding of blood, and of course through the death, the shedding of blood, and this substitute needed to be perfect. All this is God's plan. Now, in order, the Lord Jesus fulfilled that completely when he went to the cross of Calvary. But every time that they would bring this offering unto the Lord, it was for that purpose of presenting what was to come in the future. Now, as we look at Cain and Abel, we find that there is a difference between those two offerings. And we need to look at that difference just a little bit. You know, as we finished last week, we need to look at how do we come to church? How do we worship God? Do we come desiring to do His will? Or do we come desiring to do man's tradition? Do we come because of our husband or our wife or our children or some other excuse or reason why that we think all good people come to church, and so I need to come to church? And that's getting to where that in the world today, that doesn't have a lot of influence on anything. There was a time that if you didn't go to church, why, you know, that there's something wrong. Today, why, it's almost the other way around, that if you take time to go to church, there's something wrong, because there's so much to do and so many places to go, and I'll get around to church someday. I suppose it's all right, but I don't see any reason to be there. That's the common feeling of most people. But if you come, do you come, and I am to give, so I give my time and my money, and that's all I need to do, and off we go again. God looks into the heart. And when he does, what does he see? Does he see one that desires to praise and honor God? Or does he see someone that has no life in them? They have all the world as their hope and power and strength, and that's all they care about. Is that what God sees? Well, we need to be born again. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that today you'll see the need of your sin and see the need, and the problem is if you're just coming to church and you have no relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's by faith, and we're going to look at that. Now, let's look at these offerings that Cain and Abel presented unto Adam and then on unto the Lord. And we have first Abel. Cain. Cain brought, in verse 3, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. We are told that the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was mad. That's what we're told here by the Word of God. Now, I would like to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And we're going to read something there and then kind of work our way through this with other verses of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. I went to chapter 4, verse 11. That's not going to work. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And this is what people call the faith chapter, because it explains that we can only please our God coming by faith. And we find that even back at the beginning, they came by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying that his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. So even though Abel has been dead for all these years, he still has a witness and a testimony of his righteousness that he gained by faith coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gained a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, why would God quote and place in his word such a statement, as he did here in verse 3 and verse 4? The Lord had respect unto Abel and his sacrifice, verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. To begin with, as we look at these two, we need to look at the men and what they brought. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. Okay, so we have two different offerings. Are we going to suppose that Cain didn't bring his best? You see, God being first and being the best of all, shouldn't he have the first and the best of what we have? I believe he should. He should have the first and he should have the best. Now, when we come to church today, we don't seem to come in any level of reverence unto the Lord. We just come so we're comfortable, come so we're casual, come, if you want me, you're going to have to take me this way. Is that any level of respect unto the Lord and to his house? I don't believe so. I think that we need to, and you hear that today, and it makes me sick to hear the preachers or the announcements of come to our church service. If you want to come to the early service, come and come. It's very, very comfortable. Come as you are. Now, my friend, I want you here. I want you to come into this house. I want you to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and be saved. I want you to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. Now, you can come once as you are. But from that time on, I want you to be different. Because a believer is different. If you come as you are, lost, you'll hear the gospel. You'll know how to be saved. You'll understand that as you sit under the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will touch your heart, will guide you to Him. The Holy Spirit, through His Word, will show you not only your sin and your need to deal with that sin somehow, but the somehow is brought immediately to the way, the truth, and the light, and that's Jesus Christ. And so you see, by coming as you are, you're going to come, you're going to hear the word, and you're going to have a decision to make. And am I going to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, or am I going to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ? That's your choice. Now, from that time, and especially, and many of these people confess to be saved, that are coming as they are. Why would you ever come before a righteous, holy God with your old clothes on? Don't you want to come and present yourself unto the Lord? You're not getting all dressed up for anybody else, but you're bringing your best, you're wearing your best, you're coming with your best unto the Lord. And we should do that. We should give our first and our best unto the Lord. Most don't, and most don't seem to have a problem because they can't have a problem there because then people don't come. Well, I want you to come get your heart right with God. You're not coming here to get entertained, because if you come here to get entertained, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to come and you're going to meet with a righteous God. You're going to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will slowly, quietly, through God's Word, will teach you His way to salvation and His way to victory. If you want that, then you come. If you want to be entertained, you go somewhere else, because it's a waste of time to come here. If you want your ears tickled, you want to laugh, now you'll laugh here. We have a good time, but it's not at the expense of someone's soul. It's not the place of entertainment. It's just the fun and enjoy of studying God's Word. And we go verse by verse to do that. And we have a wonderful time here. But we have a wonderful time because the desire of our hearts is to please God, not to please the world or please ourselves. Cain came with two different offerings. With Cain and Abel come with two different offerings. Once again, do you think that Cain brought something that was less than perfect of his fruit of the ground? I don't think so. Some believe that he didn't bring the best he had. He just brought something that was left over. I don't really think so. I've always felt like that he probably brought his best. Okay, so that can't be a problem with the Lord then. How about Abel? Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Undoubtedly, what Abel brought was as close to perfect and the best Abel had, and he brought his first, he brought everything, because you see, the Lord had respect for Abel's offering. So we know it was okay, but now what happened to Cain? But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. How come? As we look at Cain, we know Cain had no respect for the Lord. Now you think about that when you come into the house of God and you come, just, you know, don't ever take any thought for how you come. Just come. You just got to come. You need to come faithfully. You need to come prayerfully. You need to come prepared to meet with the Lord with a special blessing. And that's just not your just come ordinary old stuff. That's not the same thing. And I hope that you can see the difference today. I'm afraid Cain had no respect for the Lord. Now, you're going to ask, why do I know that in reading verse 3? It's because he did not do it according to God's Word. Now, if I instruct someone on how to do something, I have taught them, I have told them repeatedly how to do it. I send them out to do it. I want it done exactly by my directions, my instruction. And they come back and I said, have you completed that task? Yes, we have, but we did it our way. Do they have respect for my directions, for my leadership? No, they don't. They didn't listen to my plan. They didn't listen to my direction. They did it their own way. They had no respect for me. So we know right up front here that Cain has no respect for the Lord, because he brought something that it was not according to God's Word. Now, can you tell me what he's missing? What's wrong with Cain's offering? And what's so right about Abel's? Abel undoubtedly did it correctly, because the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, verse 4 says. Cain clearly did not. Unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Made Cain mad. Well, I'm going to tell you clearly, I'm going to tell you up front. If you want God's blessing, if you want God's salvation, if you want God's strength and direction, you've got to do it His way. You can't do it your way. And today, the liberal churches, and even churches that call themselves conservative, have left God's way. They have no longer followed after His leadership and His direction. They have forsaken many of the doctrines of God's Word. They have walked with others. We're not to have fellowship with those that are of contrary belief, and yet today they go in great numbers together to worship and praise together. We are not to do that. The Ministerial Alliance today is there to bring everybody together. God, we are to follow God, not man. It's not a goal to be together with others of other beliefs. We are to follow God's Word. We have a beautiful picture here of what happens when someone tries not to, and that's in Cain. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Maybe he didn't bring the best. I believe he did. So what's wrong with it? He did not follow God's instruction. It's just that simple. He didn't follow God's instruction. And don't expect God to be pleased with you. Don't expect God to hand you salvation, eternal life, your sins to be forgiven. Don't expect any of that unless you do it by God's way. And I bring you to the cross of Calvary. I tell you that you've got to come to Jesus Christ in Him by faith. And you need to come under the Word of God so that that Holy Spirit can convict your heart, show you that you're a rotten sinner. And you need salvation. And that salvation is in Jesus Christ. That's the way to God the Father, is through the Son, the Lord Jesus, by way of the cross. But there is you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not a head knowledge, it's a heart. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, please, please trust in the Lord Jesus. Cain acknowledged the Creator because he brought the offering. But he did not acknowledge that he was a sinner needing a Savior, because he left out the requirements. He left out there had to be an innocent substitute. He left out you had to have the shedding of blood. He left out that that innocent sacrifice would die, and he left out that that innocent sacrifice must be perfect. He left out that it's got to be God's plan, God's work, God's gift, not by works. Cain did it by works. Are you trying to get saved by your works? He says, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart, but I continue to work to keep my salvation. You're not following God's Word. If you're truly saved, if you truly had a heart change and you're born again, you're saved. You're saved eternally. The word, wonderful Word of God gives us that promise. What happened to Cain and his offering? It's just a very simple plan. Cain did not follow God's requirements, did not follow God's Word. Oh, my friend, today, Abel listened. Cain didn't. He wanted to do it his way. Now, is that the way that you're doing it today? You're trying your own way. I'm going to this church, or I'm going to this place because it's comfortable, because it's a nice place, because I it's just the music I love. I get entertained. I feel good when I leave. Well, that's all fine if those things are all under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, it's under the leadership of a spirit, but it's not the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit, and that's the spirit of the devil. And many, many places are under the leadership of the devil. They put the name called a church. They come together. They listen to the most filthy music called Christian rock. And people go together with people that are of totally different faiths and different beliefs. Call it something that is good and godly. If you are driven by that, it is of the false teaching of the Antichrist. And so, please, I'm making it very clear. Are you going to be as Cain? You're going to do your own thing, thinking that God will be pleased, but then coming out angry. And I'll guarantee you, the day that you die and stand before a righteous God, you're going to be angry, because He's not going to accept your offering. Because there's only one offering, one sacrifice He will accept, and that is you coming by faith and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking Him to come into your heart and to save you. My dear friend, we love God's Word. Let's follow it. What are you going to do about Jesus?